Eternal Father, we look forward to the day when we shall see Thee face to face. In the eye of our souls, we view Thee now. In compassion and understanding, giving to us the bread of life and the water of life and the breath of life. And as we study, as we meditate this hour of worship, and as we have read and prayed and sung, may our thoughts, like the words of our mouths, be acceptable in Thy sight. We ask through Christ, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. In the last chapter of Daniel, in the first verse, there are words that will constitute the platform from which we will project our thoughts. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even unto that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that is found written in the book. Watchman, what of the night? The morning cometh, and also the night. The shallow-minded look at the tragedies that are in the world pessimistically. The spiritually, biblically minded look at these as omens of triumph. The morning cometh, but also the night. The night of ruin and darkness and oblivion. To those who choose the ways of darkness. The morning, bright, fair, eternal, to those who choose the way of life. The options are day by day and moment by moment extended to us. Nobody is crowded anywhere against his will. He chooses to go. He chooses the options. He may make excuses that they are beyond his control. And, if I may say so, when he has made certain choices, the results are beyond his control. But I want to underline the vital, eternally vital thought that whatsoever a man sows, that he reaps. What he chooses, that he harvests. The option, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, is just as vital this Sabbath morning as it ever has been. There comes a time of unparalleled trouble. Last week, we thought of a section of it called Jacob's Trouble. That time of trouble is about us. It will not lessen. It will intensify. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Violence will multiply. This is not a pessimistic view. This is realism. This is biblical realism. The only reason why the world is not plunged into absolute chaos is because by God's Spirit and heavenly angels, the powers of evil are held in check. The only reason why the fires of retribution did not fall on Sodom and Gomorrah sooner was the presence in Sodom and Gomorrah of Lot and his two daughters. Ye are the salt of the world. Salt has two functions. It flavors, it preserves. While the righteous are still in the world, they are preservative. One day the divine mind will discern that everyone who wishes to make choice has made choice. I haven't time to focus on this thought this morning, but it would profit from an hour's meditation. All the divine designs converge on a point. Nothing is forced, nothing is arbitrary. God knows the end from the beginning. When he created man upon the earth, he knew its optimal population. When he purposed to repopulate heaven, he knew the optimum population. When man sinned, he saw that the pool from which that number was to be taken must be enlarged. And so he told the mother of us all, I will greatly increase thy conception. And out of the increased and multiplied conception, many are continually being called, and few are choosing for themselves. I've underlined the force of that middle voice, choosing for themselves. They are not arbitrarily selected. They choose themselves. Many are the being called ones, Jesus says, and few are the choosing for themselves ones. And when every man and every woman and every child has chosen for himself and decided for eternity, God the judge will discern that moment and will announce, he that is just will stay that way, and he that is unjust will stay that way. He that is righteous will stay that way, and he which is filthy will stay that way. And when that point is reached, the divine optimum population for heaven's one-third angelic expulsion and this earth, so that as our lesson said, every man can sit under his vine and under his fig tree, will have been reached. The point is decided by us. None knows when that point is reached. The point of no return. Either for ill or for well. That point is called theologically the close of probation. We close our probation. The decisions we make day by day, as a matter of fact, hour by hour, move toward that decision. It's not by isolated acts, either good or bad, that our destiny is decided, but the general tendency of our lives. Who has the heart? Who has the will? Who has the best desires? Who has the warmest aspirations, the deepest love in your mind and in your soul? If it's Christ, you move to that climax of acceptance, total committal, imperceptibly. Know ye not that he to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. When that point is reached, then another divine purpose will go into full gear. There are many, quotes, beautiful people, lovely people, who are Satan incarnate. But Satan is not yet discernible in them. They fool, they deceive, if it's possible, the very elect. Now when the Spirit of God is removed from working on those who have decided to reject him finally, he never leaves the righteous. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee is a definite promise. But when he leaves the wicked, Then this world will be plunged into scenes of violence and strife and chaos and ruin such as it is never seen before. In our scripture lesson, Zechariah chapter 3, God describes the righteous. If thou wilt walk in my ways, verse 7, if thou wilt keep my charge, thou shalt judge my house during the millennium and shalt keep my courts, none but the 144,000 enter here, and I will give thee a place to walk among those that stand by. Who are these? Whence came they? They are they that came out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and bleached them white in the shining of the sun of righteousness. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. They have followed the Lamb, and the Lamb will not desert them. The Lamb will lead them to fountains of living waters. I'll give thee a place among those that stand by. The Lord will remove their iniquity in one day. The Lord will remove their filthy garments for them and give them a change of raiment and put a fair mitre upon their heads. Henceforth there is laid up for me that fair mitre, a crown of righteousness. A crown which is righteousness, is the force of the genitive. A crown of life, a crown which is life, a righteous life, will crown the redeemed who pass through this time of unparalleled trouble, who have prepared for it day by giving their hearts to the Lord. As I was thinking about this meditation, I read again yesterday those chapters at the end of Great Controversy that talk about a time of trouble, that deals with Jacob's trouble, and then a great deliverance. Wonderful. Scenes of unpassing terror, unsurpassed in history. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It shall not come nigh thee. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Because thou hast made the Lord, even the Most High, thy habitation, no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. What refreshing, dynamic declarations of triumph. Not come nigh thee. There shall be a famine in the land. Thy bread shall be given thee, thy water shall be sure. Unscathed, untouched, triumphant. And as evil men and satanic agencies combine, seek to destroy the remnant. Many prophetic statements focus on that concept. Angels that excel in strength are made their guardians. They encamp round about them. Encamp. Temporary. The place of angels is not here permanently. They pitch their bivouac, but they encamp. They're there. As long as they're needed, they are there. No evil shall befall thee. What wonderful, wonderful promises. Death, destruction, warfare, economic collapse, labor troubles, gold and silver destroyed and valueless.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold. Watchman, what of the night?
The morning cometh.
But there's also night. And a death decree will go out to destroy those who keep the Sabbath. How will we stand when the pressures and the trauma multiplied? How will we stand?
Only those who have made the Scriptures
their study.
Only those who have filled their minds with the teaching of the Bible
by study and prayer will survive in that last day. Philosophy won't help you a hoot. Ethics won't get you onto the level of the soles of your shoes. It's only the Word of God. And if this morning in your soul you have resistance to that word, God's Spirit is opening your mind before it is too late. You must eat it. You must feed upon it. You must digest it. You must live by it. Only those who have made the Scriptures the foundation of their lives will survive in that day.
False Christ will come. Christ is returned. The nude media, the mini cams will be all over photographing Christ. He's there. Now he's moved there. He's there in the desert. No, he's over there. The world will be led captive.
But what's the Bible told us about Christ coming?
If Christ walked down this room today, a majestic being, beautiful to look at, magnificent language, his words and messages, 99% scripture. Would you detect the 1%? Did you see him come? Did you see the sign of the Son of Man, small as a man's hand? Did you watch the armies of heaven on white horses coming? Did you see him? If he walks in here, he's a quack and a fake. Do you know enough about the Bible to detect the quacks and the fakes? You don't need to study evil to combat it. You need to study the truth to recognize the evil. Only those who have made the Scriptures their safeguard today will survive that day.
And in the midst of this pressure, in the midst of this turmoil, in the midst of this war, in the midst of this bloodshed, and violence and apostasy and hatred, one day somebody will look and in the east see that sign and recognize that sign.
Lo, he comes on clouds descending.
And as they watch that little black cloud come nearer, it changes color. Till it's glorious with the radiance of God. Christ comes riding down on it, on a great white horse with the armies of heaven following him.
How far away we discern it, I know not.
But the stars move out of their courses to make room for that vast procession. Will we be alive to catch the first lilt of that angel triumphant song? Will we be there to look up and say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. We have bypassed every fake. We have turned down every quack. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Do you get the emphasis of that prediction of Isaiah? Will you recognize him then? The Jesus who is your Jesus, who is your Lord.
And he will send forth his angels on that day to sever the wicked from among the just.
As he comes near and nearer, mountains tremble, roll crashing into the sea. The sea and the waves, raw islands are swallowed up. The earth trembles with the greatest earthquake it's ever had. Rocks are rent. And a voice clear as a trumpet, "Awake, awake, awake, ye that sleep in the dust of the earth, and arise." There can come forth from myriad unmarked graves the vast hosts of the Lord of hosts. Millions upon millions of redeemed. Every size, from the giant Abel, 18 feet tall, to little redeemed Ituri pygmies, 4 feet tall. The angels carry the babes to their mother's arms. They've lost a while. They look up with the living righteous, changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, mortal sloughed off, immortality given as a gift, corruption forgotten, incorruption received as a gift. Take away his filthy garments. Clothe him with a change of raiment. This is the prediction of Zechariah. This is the great deliverance. Today the promise of God will deliver you from the power of Satan. And that day he's going to deliver you from his presence. Today the power of God will deliver you from the power of temptation. Tomorrow he will gather you to himself away from its presence forever, never to be annoyed by it, never to be troubled. That great deliverance is before us, presaged by a deliverance today. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. That promise he is ready to answer now. I talked to a distraught soul not very long ago and tried to show him that prayer was a science. Prayer is a science. You don't just blurt out today some request. God answer. You're on the ninth green. You've got to get it in, and you're saying, "Lord, let it roll in." It's not praying. Blasphemy. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Science. If there are certain elements in the solution, then the experiment will not work out. There are certain glues that will not adhere to any surface that contains a thumb impression or a fingerprint. You leave grease there. You can put all the glue you want and it will never stick to that greasy place. You can't see it, but it won't stick. You've got to take the strongest detergent and clean off all grease. Then it'll stick. Very simple illustration. There are things we've got to do before we can get that glue to stick. There's got to be no glue, no grease of any kind. There are things we've got to do before God will answer our prayers. If we regard, and the idea behind regard is cherish, we're not ready to give it up. Not ready to give it up. Not 100 years ago, we were talking to somebody, going through with the divorce. All the reasons battered down. I'm going through with that divorce. So I got somebody to help me, who's a pastor of that person. Nothing to do with this congregation, so don't identify. You know nothing about this case. Talked for an hour. call me back. The only thing she's ready to consider is herself. Only thing. Children, husband, future. No way. Regarding iniquity, deliberately choosing. You're not carried away beyond yourself, out of yourself. You can't help it. You're choosing. And we say, Lord, please take this out of my life. Search me. Search my heart. Know my ways. Try my ways. Show me if there be any evil way in me. Make it right. Confess it. Square yourself as you are able. You can choose. Then you can say, Lord, I'm not regarding iniquity. I'm not making excuse for anything. I'm not justifying anything I've done. I'm not sticking up for myself. I was wrong. I have sinned in heaven and in thy sight. I'm not worthy. We will find his presence around our necks. We will find his warm and loving kiss upon our cheeks. We will find our soul bathed with his paternal tears. And we will hear his voice say to the angels, take away his filthy garment from him. Clothe him with a change of raiment. Put a crown of life and righteousness upon his head. Say to those that are walking by, he is standing for me. Today, that decision is made. Now is the time. Now is the accepted hour. Today we make our minds up and prepare for the time of trouble. Today we guarantee the great deliverance. Not at some remote time in some crisis. It's today. In the quiet, disciplined, daily routine. We pledge our hearts. We direct our souls. We feed our lives upon the Word of God. We lift the soul to God in constant prayer. Every movement in life, every crossroads of every hour, the heart lifted up, Lord, bless me. Help me to make the right decision. Every contact, Lord, help me to make the right words. Help me to show the right spirit. Come and live in me. Prayer, breath of the soul. Pray without ceasing. Take the principles and imbibe them. That day will be a day of triumph. To you, the prophet will say, the morning cometh. If you don't, he will shake his head and say, and also the night. And soon the righteous caught up with each angel guard will mount up like an eagle, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And that vast procession turn round, disappear in celestial spaces, leaving this planet in utter darkness. Cold, 1,000 years. Not a microbe moves. Life is impossible in total darkness that brings absolute cold. Satan alone to view the handiwork of his policies. But for us, the choice must be Jesus today. The whole purpose of preaching, the whole purpose of Bible study, the whole purpose of Christian living is right here. All stems and pivots and hinges and depends and has a foundation, whatever figure you like to use, upon our personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Is he your Savior, your Lord, calling every shot in your life? Deciding on every decision that you make. Till he is supreme, you stand in jeopardy. And I plead with you as your pastor. Why? Why? Halt between. Say to him now, Lord, I'm going to take you altogether. Completely. Take me totally. Make of me what you will. I love you. I love you. Here I am. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we love thee. We long for that day. With the light of thy throne and thy grace shining upon us, we see areas of need. We thank thee we see them before it is too late. If there is any here, Eternal Father, fighting, resisting, stubborn, break them. Destroy self in them. Awaken the willing mind that Christ had and transform them. We want to spend eternity with them, with thee. Bless them. With our boys and girls, our children, our grandchildren, bless them too. And may the day be soon when all the lambs and all the sheep and all the flocks and all the ages gather about the great shepherd of the soul in the eternal fold. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.